The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is another edition of The Bird Calls. I am David Grubb and joined as always by senior writer of The Bird Writes, Ali Cosell. Our special guest today from the cool temperate locale that is Las Vegas, Nevada, Pelicans broadcaster and color commentator for the 2K24 Summer League, the one and only Aaron Summers. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It is definitely not cool here at all. It is hot, but we're hanging in.
So the Pels are 1-1 after beating the Warriors last night. Not the cleanest, most beautiful game in the world, but the Pels at times offensively looked really bad. Second half, though, outscore the Warriors 50-35. You don't ever want to read too much in the Summer League results, but what did you see in the second half, and what did the coaching staff in particular like about those final 20 minutes?
I think it goes back even further than that to Friday, and the way that they played Friday was – I mean, you said it wasn't the cleanest game yesterday, but Friday was a lot worse with the 31 turnovers. So the fact that they only had 7 in the first half of the game against the Warriors just showed that they're paying more attention to details, working on their execution and communicating. That was the thing that Coach Casey Hill has been really emphasizing at practices, shoot arounds. They don't know each other very well. You have to talk out there. You have to be constantly helping each other out with where people are going, because it's very free flowing when it comes to the Summer League. There's not a lot of opportunity to really get a lot of sets down. So these guys have to talk to each other. And along with that, Coach Hill said that you have to bring the effort. And he said that I think at halftime, he told Zebron, like, you got to just go down the lane, be aggressive. When you bring that high level of effort, that's when you're successful, because that's what it takes for the game that you play. So he kind of helped Zebron kick it into another gear, and he had a great game in the paint.
Yeah, Aaron, I noticed that Trajan Langdon mentioned, and it's important for people, listeners, to know that the Pelicans, 3 practices, 2 games. Mm-hmm. That's not a lot of time, especially say the Warriors, right? They've played 2 additional games, have had more practices because they played in that California Classic, right? That other summer league game. So it is important for your leaders like Dyson Daniels to really take charge, for Darren Seabrown, who I think we should talk about, right? What a bounce back game, 25 points, really some great decision making. Mm-hmm. And he really just played to his strengths. I thought that, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm curious to see what you saw, but it seemed like the Warriors, they really keyed on, right, on Jordan Hawkins. They really made sure that he was going to get loose. So I think that opened up some lanes for Zebron, right, to do what he does best, drive and attack.
And it was really cool to see that even though Hawkins didn't have any openings, he got so many good looks on Friday, did not have the same opportunities on Sunday because of the defense that the Warriors were playing. And they were all over him. They were not going to let him go. But he still required, like, creates gravity. Whether it's because he's going to hit a shot or because you're worried that he's going to, you know, he had somebody on him like paint last night, and it did open up other people. And I think it took a little while for the Pelicans to settle in and figure out how they're going to adjust to that. But they found a really good option in Zebron.
Yeah. Before David, I want to go with talking about Dyson, EJ Liddell, because the transition's so easy. Jordan Hawkins, everybody knows he's the great shooter, and we see that, right? The way he's able to get his shots, the way his shot looks. But I want to talk about everything else he did. And I thought in that second half, some big rebounds, that charge, right? I know he had that big bucket, but seconds before, that charge was huge. So tell me, have you been kind of surprised by how much more he offers with his game other than shooting?
When I've talked to him, he's, in very matter of fact, in the way that he does bring other things to the game. And he's like, yeah, I know everyone talks about my shooting, but I can handle the ball. I can create for my teammates. I can play defense. So it's good that we got to see other aspects of that, because he did affect the game regardless of whether or not he was getting looks, getting his shot to fall. You know, you mentioned the charge that he took. I think that was a real game changer, because that's when the momentum really shifted towards the Pelicans and the rest of the team kind of turned up their intensity defensively, and they're able to close the game out in a way that they didn't in the last game.
Aaron, do you think that what you've seen from Jordan by being able to do these other things might actually help him get a spot in a rotation quicker, right? Earn some more trust with Willie sooner than maybe most rookies that enter the league.
Yeah, and you said the key word there, trust. That's what Coach Green always talks about. He has to be able to trust you to make the right decision and to put forth the effort that he asks of his players in all minutes. So I think Hawkins showed just how well he does understand the game, his basketball IQ, that you can trust him in different situations to make the right play. So yes, if he's adding not only with that 3-point shot that we're still really waiting to see just kind of fall, like we know he can, it's good to see that he can provide on the defensive end, be in the right positions, and then also find his teammates. You know, he made some really good reads yesterday.
Yeah, we went with this kind of box, you know, same thing with Trey Murphy when he was drafted, that, oh, he's a shooter, but Jordan is a scorer. And we've seen him, you know, put the ball on the floor, come around screens, handling the basketball and pull up. We've seen him shoot mid-range jumpers. We saw him, you know, take people off the dribble, recognize closeouts. I think he's a very intelligent offensive player. And as you said, that experience, I think, of him being coached really hard by two exceptional guards in Danny and Bobby Hurley. I think that you're forced to be a complete basketball player in that regard. And his 5 assists in that first game, you know, showed that he wants to contribute. He's had a blocked shot. He's had some steals, you know, so I like his activity, even though you can tell that there are times where he's still catching up to what NBA speed is like.
Yeah. And he mentioned that it is a little bit quicker. It's going to be even quicker once you get to the actual NBA games. So there might be a little adjustment there as well, but you know that he's going to put in the work, you know that he's going to bring it. They talk about how much he's just in the gym. You know, he himself said he's gained 10 pounds since the offseason. I don't even know what kind of crazy regimen that would take for somebody with his size to start with, but he definitely puts in the work, and it's going to be fun to see how quickly he does come around.
It seems that the summer league, the key for this is building around and building up Dyson Daniels in year two, and expanding his role. Clearly the coaching staff is telling him to be aggressive offensively. He's averaging almost 18 points, 6 assists, 10 boards, 3 steals, 1.5 blocks over these first two games. We know the 3-point shooting is his biggest struggle, 2-for-14 so far, but he's shooting 55% on his 2-point attempts and going to the basket a little bit more. What about Dyson is the staff excited about, and what can you see in difference in his attitude and his approach from year one to year two?
You mentioned his just aggressiveness, ability to put the ball on the ground, go to the rack. You know, he was not afraid to go in against contact. I think last year he was maybe a little bit more timid. He's somebody else who's been working on his body and his strength. He said he's gained somewhere between 5 and 10 pounds of muscle. So he wants to be able to go in there and hold his own. It's something we've heard from Brandon Ingram. He said he was putting on weight before last season to be able to do that as well. Same with Trey Murphy. So you just kind of got to adjust to the game a little bit, and he's doing that. He's doing the right things. And as far as what the team is excited about outside of just that aspect of his confidence, even though he's not shooting very well from outside, they're really happy about his 3-point shot. You know, they say it looks good, and that's something that he's been working on a lot over the summer, you know, making sure his mechanics are better, keeping his elbows up, releasing higher, quicker. And so they're happy that it looks the way that it's supposed to. And they want him to take as many shots as he can from outside right now, because that's what summer league is about, is kind of trying something different, getting comfortable. And they're confident that he will get his shot to fall.
Summer league kind of doesn't fit for big guys in general. It's much more of a guard oriented game, because there are so many more guards trying to make teams, it seems like. But EJ Liddell in that has had his moments. It's clear that he understands the game. He has a high basketball IQ. It seems like he's still getting himself together physically, trusting his body in game action. How does he look in practice, where he probably has more freedom to do the things that he needs to do compared to the games where his role is much more limited?
Yeah, and free is a good way to put it, because during the game season, a minutes restriction right now, it's 20 right now. It's going to increase, I think, for the last game, but not by very much. So it's hard to catch a rhythm, to kind of get into a good flow of a game when you know you're kind of getting pulled out, your minutes are getting watched, and you're not able to, you know, just gain momentum as the game goes on. So I think we'll see him continue to settle in more. You know, they just keep asking him to be patient. He looks really good in practice. He looks fluid. His shot looks great. So I think it's just him getting, you know, up to the speed of the game again, the conditioning aspect of it as well, because he just really started going full court within the last couple of weeks. So that's a little bit different of an animal, but it'll come. And the goal is for him just to be 100% ready to go. No trepidation for training camp.
Aaron, another player I think fans wanted to see more out of, but unlike AJ Liddell, who's coming back from injury, Carlo Matkovic, right? He's coming over from Europe second, even though he barely played, I know, a season ago, but people wanted to see more. So he's kind of gone off to that disappointed start, right? Trouble getting the ball through the hoop, rebounding, and really struggling with fouls, right? What have you seen up close within games, like the pros and cons of his game so far?
Yeah, I mean, he's got so much upside. It's just he plays in a different league. They play a different style. When you come here, especially with this game being so free-flowing, so quick, I mean, they're really trying to push the pace. It's hard when you're already trying to catch up to a different type of game to even keep up to that pace. And I actually talked to Carlo after the game, and you know, he was frustrated because he said he felt so comfortable at the end of the season overseas this past year and was really playing very extremely well. And then he comes here and, you know, it's not natural. You know, you're not just intuitively doing what you're supposed to be doing on the court, because you're trying to think, okay, well, I can't be as physical. They're going to call this, or I have to do, you know, so you're thinking, and that's almost why he's been a little bit, maybe a step back or late.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear that, you know, they talked about he may need to spend a little more time in Europe. It just feels like, yeah, the subtleties of the American game have not yet rubbed off on him. The moving screens, I mean, like they're really obvious right now. And just you, as you said, his general kind of confusion with his teammates of not knowing when to roll and where to go. It just feels like he's just a step behind every time down the court. And that has to be incredibly frustrating for a guy that, especially on a team that if you're a big right now and you can produce, clearly they want to make room for that because there just aren't a lot of bigs on this roster.
Well, and I watched him in practice before they came down here, and he did not miss a shot. I mean, he was hitting every mid-range that he was putting up, and he was dominating. So I think, you put it now in game speed, in action, and got to put it all together. He'll get there. I think he just needs more experience with the game here.
And speaking of practice, since you brought it up, what else has stood out to you that maybe fans should know, right, that we should know about, whether it's individual certain players shining in certain moments or maybe as a team concept or some leadership examples? Like what's your biggest takeaways? Maybe give me like three of your favorite ones so far in practices.
Well, it's been fun to see some of the vets come through and practice. You know, they go through some individual work, but Najee, Trey, Herb, and Jose were all in there before practice on Saturday. And Jose's as feisty as ever, I tell you. That definitely stood out because he was arguing with everybody and everything about fouls being called or whatever rule he thought that they weren't following with the game they were playing. So he's really fired up to get back on the court. So I think that's going to be exciting. You know, we have a lot of players that are going to be coming off of injuries, do have chips on their shoulders, really want to prove things. So I expect, based on the energy that I'm seeing, that training camp is going to be very, very competitive, should be a lot of fun. Another player I think that has stood out is Landers Nolly from Cincinnati. He has a really pretty outside shot. He's just not gotten a lot of opportunities to show that. That's kind of what he prides himself on, a real true like 3-and-D guy. So hopefully we'll get to see a little bit more of that, but he really likes going left, really likes hitting those corner threes. And he's done very well. Let's see. I think that it's been really cool to see EJ just on the court with everybody, because everybody's so excited for him. I think he said after game one, the vets that were there in attendance were chirping at him so much that he just didn't want to go to that side of the court anymore. But yeah, he just got a smile on his face all the time. And that's just really cool to see.
Garrison Brooks is another guy who's had a very nice opening to summer league, 6 of 7 shooting over 2 games, solid rebounding numbers, blocking shots, obviously a long shot to make the roster, but could he be a dark horse guy now, maybe for a 2-way contract with the kind of effectiveness that he's shown and the physicality in particular?
Yeah, I mean, I think we can read between the lines in some of the comments that we've heard, you know, the way David Griffin talked so highly of Leon Robbins on our broadcast on Friday, that he is somebody that they're definitely looking at for that 2-way spot, but you still have one open. So you could argue that Garrison and Liam might fulfill the same role, is that they're both fives, you know, maybe play a little bit different game, but so I don't know if you want to pick up two of the same type of player. It'll be interesting to see who does get that extra spot. You know, Landers is somebody that was brought up that Griff was high on as well. So I don't know.
Ollie, do you? Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've been perfect for the leads, right, Aaron? Because I've cut David off a few times because you've touched on our next topic. And let's talk a little bit about Landers Nolly. I don't know if you knew this, but I went for my undergraduate studies to the University of Cincinnati. So I've always watched at least a couple of their games every season. And I caught, right, Landers Nolly a couple of times this past season. So in that first game, when he went 4-for-4 from the field, I was like, yeah, that's UC product. But more so to your point, he's a legit shooter. And it's not just catch and shoot threes, right? I want people to know that he shoots a lot, I wouldn't say off-balance shots, but he's got such a nice feel on his shot, and he stays within himself. And yeah, the shooting being as valuable as it is, Aaron, talk a little bit more about why you think he would make a good fit for a team, honestly, that could maybe use a little bit more shooting.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we know the Pelicans are very high on defense, and he's good on that end of the court as well. That's usually how Coach Green says he'll give you minutes. If you can play well defensively and be smart, not hurt them on that end, then, you know, that's going to help you get some time. And then with the way the Pelicans need some 3-point shooting, if, you know, he can really show that side of his game and be confident in that, and, you know, make sure his teammates can trust him in that way, then yeah, I think he's got a good opportunity. He's such a versatile player though. You know, it's not just, you know, he said, yeah, I guess you can kind of qualify me as a 3-and-D, but I do feel like I provide so much more than just that with my game. He's a fun guy too. He said he really likes trash talk, and that's what like gets him going. And so I don't know if you're listening, but yeah, he's funny.
I mean, this whole team, the connection has still persisted. I mean, we saw during the broadcast yesterday that Jose was on doing FaceTimes with BI during the game, and they asked Trey during halftime, had he been speaking with Zion? He says, I text and FaceTime with Zion all the time. You know, externally, all these reports about the relationships between these players and how strained they are, but every time consistently when we talk to the players, or when the players get to speak, they talk about how close they are. why do you think there's this disconnect nationally or perception wise about the way that the players are dealing with each other and, you know, versus, you know, how it really is?
I think that it started probably when Zion was injured and he took some time away, you know, and so people are like, oh, well, why isn't he around the team? And, you know, they start creating narratives that aren't maybe there, or they misconstrue something that was said when CJ said he hadn't talked to him yet after the trade, you know. People can run with things, but I see them at practice every day. I see them around each other in the facility. You know, Zion's always got a huge smile on his face. He's always talking to people, joking around, interacting with not just his teammates, but various staff. And so I haven't seen the fact that they don't seem to get along. You know, obviously we know B.I. and Jose and Najee are like the best of buds. So I think that the fact that Brandon, I was surprised that, you know, he was watching, but I guess I shouldn't be, you know, he's going to tune in Pelicans anything. And then the fact that he actually did FaceTime, I think was incredible during Jose's little interview. So, you know, Brandon had his moment last year when he jumped in on Trey Murphy's interview. So I guess he had to kind of crash summer league again.
But the coaching staff installing, I guess, James Borrego's offense probably is not the priority for summer league. So for Casey Hill, what are his real points of emphasis besides consistent effort and defense when he goes into each one of these games?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot of simple actions. You know, they run through, a couple drills where, you know, he shows you your three options and you have to hit each one and before the next team runs through it. So, you know, just kind of letting them try to understand simple pick and rolls, dribble handoffs, whatever it may be, but just to continue to move, you know, make sure that you're moving and you're keeping. He really wants to keep on the offense and on the other side, you know, he wants to try to spread out the other team, keep them out of the middle. So, you know, it's kind of basically the same concepts that the Pelicans usually run, just kind of their initial, you know, 0.5 basketball, tough defense, and, you know, kind of just continue to move the ball, find the best look.
Ollie?
Yeah, Aaron, I don't know how many interactions you've had personally with Casey Hill since coming here to New Orleans, but I feel like we've really gotten to learn about a side of him during the summer league that we really didn't know existed. Like, for instance, his honesty with the players is quite refreshing. And it goes to our point that a lot of us behind the scenes were always trying to tell fans, no, the coaching staff's always trying to get them to shoot more threes, right? There were certain concepts they would get hung up on. And I was always telling them, no, the coaching staff's actually telling them the right things. It's just not coming out in the execution. But I think we're seeing that again because now Casey Hill's getting in front of the camera and he's literally like telling us good examples of whether he's having, like, with, for instance, De'Aaron Seabron. He said, when you play hard, you're elite. And he's like basically telling us all these things that usually just stay kind of off camera. And for instance, like with Dyson Daniels, don't you worry about any of those threes you're shooting. You keep shooting them. So like I said, I feel like the coaching staff has always kind of gotten the right message across. But now we're learning because of Casey Hill, the way he chooses to interact with the media, that this has indeed, I think, been the case. So what have you liked about, you know, just talking to Casey Hill more so than usual?
Casey's great. He's very honest and he will tell you, you know, how he feels, what he's thinking. You can see it during games sometimes. You know, he's the first one to kind of jump up and get upset with a call, and he's very impassioned. You see his care for the team, the players, and their success. You know, he's very detailed when he's walking through stuff in practice. He takes time to compliment them, you know, to stop practice and say, you know, point out things that are going well. And there was a one moment, you mentioned him kind of like showing, getting you behind the scenes, but he stopped practice and he was like, this is great. You guys are talking so much. This sounds great. I love this communication. Didn't have that last night. You know, last night that gym was silent. He's like, you could hear a pin drop. And he's like, am I wrong? And the guys are like, no, you know, no. And so he's like, this is what I need to hear from you guys tomorrow. So yeah, it is different that his, just the way he interacts, than what we've seen from Willie, who's very careful with when he uses his words and what he says. So he's effective when he does talk.
What has Willie's presence been like during this? Is he helping run practice, or is he just more on the back observing? What's been his role during summer league so far?
Yeah, he is just kind of observing. He has not had any interaction with the team. Just kind of letting Casey do his thing and just watching the players and watching the other teams play as well. You know, we saw during the end of the year when, you know, Brandon Ingram, Herb Jones, Willie Green were at the Denver game, and, you know, just he wants to go out there and experience like what that feels like, what that looks like. And I think it was cool that he brought, you know, two of the players with him, and they wanted that same feel. So, you know, he's here really soaking it all in, talking to people, and just kind of showing his support for the program.
Aaron, I've got just one more from me, and it's about Victor Wembanyama, and it's specifically his debut. I texted Gus. I asked him, hey, you there for this? You there for this? He's like, no, I'm going back to the hotel. Did you happen to stay there for Wembanyama's debut? And have you had a chance to watch him play at all? Maybe in the game two, if you missed game one at all.
Yeah, I wasn't there for game one, as we had the first game. That was the last game, so we didn't stick around that long. But they played before us on Sunday. So I was able to see him in person, and he looked great on Sunday. Obviously was not the case on Friday. But speaking of honesty, I just loved his comment after the game. I'm not sure his PR staff loved it, but the fact that he said he had no idea what he was doing out there, like, that's not what you want to hear from your number one pick. And I just thought it was so funny. But even for him, you know, we talked about the speed of the game being tough for Carlo, like even for him to say that, you know, he was lost out there in his first game is funny. But he looked very smooth. His outside shot is great. His ability to you know, get inside, pull the defense in, just going to create a lot of opportunities for his teammates. But yeah, he had a really good game yesterday, and that was fun to watch, and people were really into it.
Aaron, you know, you've got another week out in Vegas. At least three more games to go, unless you know, Pelicans could make the playoffs of the summer league. But we just want to tell you, you know, like we're so proud of you and excited for you to get this opportunity to do the color commentary on the radio. I've been listening to it while I've been watching the games, and having worked with you, I know how talented you are, and I'm just glad you're getting this time to shine.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
You and Gus are a good team, and I've loved the interviews, right, with Griffin and Trajan Langdon yesterday. Yeah. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah, no, that's been really great. I appreciate them all giving us their time. We're going to have Swin Cash and Bryson Graham on as well over the next couple games.
All right, so to the next one, of course. Pelicans back in action on Tuesday night. They play the Phoenix Suns. Game time is at 7 p.m. Central, and Erin will be on the call once again, so you can listen to her on the Pelicans app, or you can listen to her at pelicans.com. You can go to either one of those places to listen to the call there. And before you go, if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button. If you're listening to this podcast, like us, give us a 5-star rating. For Aaron Summers and Ali Koso, I'm David Rowe. This has been The Bird Call.